importance of levels to bowl development and impact of premature defoliation on yield. Dr. Ritchie's going to put into perspective to us what happens, why does it matter, if for any reason, including something like target spot, you start to lose leaves. Thanks, Dr. Ritchie.
Thank you, Dr. Kimwright. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Right now, I'm a cotton physiologist with a joint appointment at Texas Tech University and Texas A&M AgriLife Research in Lubbock, Texas. Prior to my time here, I was actually at the University of Georgia for 8 years, so you may wonder, well, why is a cotton physiologist in an arid climate talking about a disease that you tend to see in humid climates? Well, I spent about 8 years at the University of Georgia before I moved to Texas Tech. Texas Tech is probably going to be my last stop because all of the slides that I've made are red and black, and there aren't too many universities that have red and black for their colors. I also have done quite a bit of work on end-of-season work with cotton, including harvest aids and also plant-water relations. Another reason that I think Bob may have chosen me to speak here is that I was actually with him and Jason Woodward when another eminent pathologist pointed out to me that evolutionarily the amoebas were created first, and then the physiologist, and then the other multicellular organisms. So I feel like I'm kind of close to the pathogen side just from that point. I'd like to start out briefly just by showing you from a physiologist perspective how we view overall plant growth and development. We usually break it into three parts, each with their own specific challenges or issues that we deal with. The first part is going to be the seedling phase, where you have logarithmic growth, you have a very rapidly growing plant in relationship to its size, and then you get into the vegetative growth, where you have more of a linear phase, and then finally the reproductive growth, which is also called a senescence phase. Now with cotton, because it's an indeterminate plant, our vegetative and our reproductive phases overlap somewhat. From a standpoint of the effects of leaves on boll development and production, typically we think of it in terms of the reproductive phase, just because this is the period where we have decreasing vegetative growth, and we couple that with the plant actually cannibalizing energy from the leaves and your other vegetative structures in order to produce your yield here. But I think hopefully as we go through this, we'll find that the senescence phase isn't the only phase that we should be concentrating here. And I think this will fall in with what Dr. Vlad talked about as well. The senescence phase is going to correspond with fruit development, and the plant is going to partition a lot of the energy that has already collected to this point in its life cycle and put it into the fruit, and it's actually going to decrease the vegetative growth, and it's even going to pull carbohydrates out of the vegetative growth, so you'll actually see a decrease in the biomass of the other parts of the plant during this period of time. Now, the vegetative phase, the reason that I say we should also consider it is that during the vegetative growth phase, we tend to have a lot of the issues that we run into later in the season with senescence have actually been caused during the vegetative growth phase. As was mentioned, Coronaspora is a disease that likes a lot of humidity, likes a very dense canopy, and these are things that are primarily decided prior to active fruiting in the cotton plant. If we have a lot of water, less PGR use, other situations that lead to additional vegetative growth early on, that's going to come back and play into problems as we get later into the season. Another reason I think that we shouldn't completely discount this is that, Coronaspora is not something that only sets in, when the plant is actively producing its bolls. I was asking Bob about this morning, and he and his colleagues said that, you know, they've seen leaf spots start to pop up, you know, as early as first flower or sooner. So it's something that I think we'll see that it ties in quite a bit as well. Now, I would be amiss if I gave a talk on cotton and didn't talk about boll distribution, because I've spent several years torturing my graduate students by making them pick off the bolls off of cotton plants and assign them nodes and positions here. This is a typical cotton boll distribution. The bolls at the bottom of the plant are the ones that are produced first, and then the plant continues to grow over a period of time. And on about a 3 to 5 day interval, you're going to have additional fruiting structures put onto that plant based on whether you're moving up or to the side on the plant. And so the fruit that's produced at the bottom plant of the plant may have actually been produced 4 to even 6 weeks before the fruit that's being produced at the top of the plant. So we have a lot of different growth stages occurring in the plant at the same time. And as it relates to the actual leaves, there have been multiple studies. This is one that I pulled up from D.A. Ashley, who said that most of the carbohydrates for a boll come from the subtending leaves for that boll. Usually we think of the subtending leaf as being the leaf that's directly under the fruiting structure here, but what he was calling a subtending leaf was any of the leaves that are subtending to either this fruiting branch or the actual fruiting structure are going to be taken into account. And in fact, he said that the bulk of the carbohydrates actually come from these main stem leaves on the same fruiting branch that the bowl comes from. And so anything that happens to that individual leaf that is subtending to that bowl is going to affect the amount of carbohydrates that we're going to shift into the bowl, and it's going to affect not only our yield, but as you'll see, it's actually also going to potentially affect our quality as well. So a best case scenario, as we talk about the effects of defoliation due to a disease or due to anything else, would be, well, let's take the bowls that are going to be most sensitive, which are going to be those at the very top of the plant, and see how much they're going to affect us. So this would be probably a late season type scenario where we're primarily affecting the most sensitive fruit structures near the top of the plant. With this in mind, generally what we found, and this actually came out as a question from people who are wondering, well, how far do we need to push irrigation late into the season? Well, what we found was that in irrigated cotton, we'll ignore the dry land because the irrigated is likely where you're going to see most of these issues. Most cultivars only range from, you know, maybe 1 to 3% of their total yield is at the top of the plant. And that also doesn't tend to be our most high-quality fruit. And so best-case scenario, we might only be losing, you know, 0.5% or 1% or 1.5% of our yield due to a problem that comes on late in the season. However, the problem with that concept is that we're not only affecting the uppermost bowls with our leaf tissue damage, especially if this is a problem that's related to humidity, that's going to tend to affect the more mature parts of the plant. And the bulk of the leaf tissue damage is going to be in the heaviest part of the canopy. Now, one of the arguments, as Bob mentioned, was, well, those older leaves aren't really photosynthesizing heavily late in the season anyway, and that is true. However, the problem is, as soon as we introduce a disease into those leaves, and I borrowed this off of the Alabama Extension website from Dr. Hagen. Anytime we get these spots, what happens is this necrotic tissue it's dead tissue. We're not going to be able to extract any carbohydrates out of that tissue, and we're going to have effects of trying to move additional carbohydrates from that leaf into the bowls. And so it may not be something that affects the entire plant, but the parts of the plant that it affects, it can have a dramatic effect on it. If we have leaf spot that is covering 50% of a leaf, that's at least 50% of the carbohydrates from that leaf that have been lost from the capability to move into the cotton bowl. This is an example of the amount of photosynthesis and the bowl dry weight that we have over a period of time. This is cut out right here, and you see that even as we start to get into a substantial bowl dry weight, we still have quite a bit of canopy photosynthesis that's occurring at this period of time. And not only do we have a fair amount of canopy photosynthesis still occurring, we're also taking out carbohydrates that have also been produced during this earlier period of time here. Now, that leads to the concept that we're probably looking at more significant yield losses than that first assumption. This is some work that Craig Bednarz did while he was at the University of Georgia, and he was looking at the effects of defoliation timing on cotton yield and quality. Now, with chemical defoliation, particularly when you're using a hormonal defoliant, your goal isn't to immediately kill the leaves. However, you are essentially cutting down the photosynthesis, and I would say that this is a fairly good analogy to what you could see with a problem with a fungus. And what he saw was that if you had early defoliation, and on the left-hand axis here is just the week of defoliation, so essentially, week zero would be as soon as you start to see your first bowls cracked, you go ahead and defoliate. And then they did it on a weekly basis all the way to the end of the season. And what they saw was that early leaf defoliation or removal resulted in yield losses that ranged from about 100 to 250 kilograms per hectare, about 90 to a little over 200 pounds per acre. Now, you know, in 2011, that would have been $90 to $200 that we're losing. Even in 2012, that's still, you know, $60 to maybe $175 per acre that we could be losing off of a high yielding cotton crop due to the defoliation issue here. Another problem was that the fiber quality was also, or the fiber maturity was also decreased. See, the bowls, through their period of their life, they go through an elongation phase, and then they go through a maturation phase. And if we interrupt things during either of those phases, we're going to dramatically impact the quality of our fiber quality here. And then finally, worst case scenario, I took this as a concept based on the idea maybe we've got a crop that is late planted, maybe we have heavy issues with leaf spot earlier in the season, you have increased vegetative biomass, and you have the potential. This is some work that we did where we actually cut off water late in the season and left it off, and so what we saw here was this red line here is what we would get with no drought. And then these other two lines are the effects on photosynthesis that we got by cutting it off at peak bloom. So we essentially minimized the photosynthesis at peak bloom, similar to having a heavy infestation of a disease. And what we found was that we actually saw yield losses that ranged from 25 to 40%. Now, this is a worst-case scenario. However, there are situations where we could potentially come close to that. We also saw substantial changes in our fiber quality. Anything that was related to fiber maturity was affected. Micronair length, uniformity, strength, all of these were affected. And so not only are we seeing a yield reduction due to this, but just like Dr. Vlad showed with tomatoes, we're also seeing a quality reduction as well. So there are a range of possibilities for the effects of leaf spot. Some of the situations where you would anticipate that we could see a lot of it, later planted cotton is likely to be more affected because there's more time for the pathogen to move in. It's also, from a physiological standpoint, playing with a lot tighter time window before we run out of time to produce the bolls. Also, if you have an early season that tends to be hot and humid, we saw in Georgia that sometimes rather than fruiting starting on node 5, it moved all the way up to node 8 or 9 or 10 before we really got underway in the fruiting structures here. So any environment that promotes vegetative growth or delays maturity is effectively going to decrease our yield if we have problems with this later in the season. So I guess best case scenario, it's not a real big issue. I would say the most likely is probably more like I showed from the Bednar study, where we may potentially be looking at yield losses of 10 to 15%. Worst case scenario, we could look at an absolute disaster with it. I realize that I'm almost out of time, so I'd like to thank Craig Bednarz, who not only did the research on some of this, but is also the one who mentored me and taught me about cotton, and also the University of Georgia and Texas Tech cotton groups. And I appreciate your time. It looks like I may have time for about one question.
We have time for a couple questions. You got more minutes than you think you do.
Oh,
but,
wow.
At the last minute, any questions for Dr. Ritchie?
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bednar's work that showed the 10 to 15% yield reduction that you mentioned maybe more in that best case scenario, was he defoliating totally, or was 100% defoliation?
Yes, his goal was to defoliate it using a Cadillac treatment. Even so, if you've got an early defoliation case, I believe he only defoliated it once, so it was probably more along the lines of 80% defoliation, because there are some leaves before they mature that are just not going to come off the crop. Even so, it was probably a little bit heavier than you would expect with leaf spot. The leaves that were left were probably still actively photosynthesizing, whereas with leaf spot, you're essentially potentially shutting down the whole plant as the disease progresses.
Yes. Information on the impact of plant population density?
Certainly from my experience with plant population density, the higher the density of plants that you have within reason, the more vegetative biomass you're going to have within that area. You're going to tend to have tighter canopies, you're going to have the tendency for a more humid microclimate. With that said, cotton tends to be a very good plant at making up for any density issues that it has, and so I've seen plants that are, 2 to 3 plants per foot that are plenty dense to create an environment that would be favorable for this disease as well. Right, and I would anticipate at that point that we're going to see some decrease in the level of stress, only because we're going to have a longer period before the cotton canopy closes, and we're going to have more spots within the canopy that we don't have complete closure as well. But that's something, in Texas now we're doing 5 plants per foot, and so I've recalibrated myself to the west somewhat on that.
Dr. Ritchie, be around. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
And Joel, in reference to your question, in a worst-case scenario, I think that in the southeast we can see early in fruiting stage up to 80% defoliation within 3 or 4 weeks of bloom. So it can, in the worst case, you can achieve that same.